Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Wednesday, January 7th, 2015. I got that right. Do you find that it's difficult to remember the first few days of the year that it's not 2014 anymore and that you have to remember this new number, 2015? I seem to actually be getting better at doing that as the years go by. And it's lovely to be starting a new year. Today we're going to be talking about soap. And soap is a lovely thing. I love buying handmade soap, and I've been using handmade soap for years. And there's a big difference between soap and detergent and how it interacts with your skin and gets it clean. But even amongst handmade soaps, there is a huge difference in how soap is made. And I chose my guest that I have today because one of the things that I love to do is go around to farmers markets and fresh markets and craft fairs and any place where people are making things by hand. And as I've been doing that, I keep seeing this same woman over and over, and I see her and her soaps over and over, and I keep thinking, what great soaps these look like, over and over. And I had even taken her card and listed her on my website, given her a link on Deborah's List at deborahslist.com. And then finally, I bought a bar of soap. Just over Christmas time, I went to a holiday fair, and I saw her soap, and I learned some new things. She had a beautiful display, and from her display, I learned some things about her soap that I never knew about soap. And so I bought the soap, and it's very different from any other soap that I've purchased before or used on my skin. She says that I'm going to tell you the quote. She says that her soap not only leaves you squeaky clean, but also gives you soft, supple, and silky skin. And that's exactly right. I can vouch for that. And it's a heavy bar of soap. It doesn't just melt away. So we're going to learn about the differences between soaps. What's toxic you might have that's toxic in your soap, and how what truly old-fashioned soap is. We're going to learn all about that today. My guest is Cynthia A. Young Jennings. She's the owner of Sweet Harvest Farms in Tampa, Florida. Hi, Cynthia. I know we're going to call you CJ because you like to be called CJ.
That's fine. You can say, hey, you. That'll work.
Okay.
And let me apologize. First of all, I live close to an air base, and they're doing training. So every once in a while, you might hear jets in the background.
Totally fine. Thanks for telling us what that sound is in case we hear it. So, Cynthia, how did you get to be a soap maker?
Well, gosh. I had owned a store before and was wholesaling in what I thought was true soap. But it was leaving me itchy and dry, like most products that you buy on the market commercially. And since I have a medical background, and I did work in a dermatology office and for, you know, the doctors therein, I am a sponge, and I learn and read everything. I wanted to be a surgeon at one time, but that's another story. So that's why I stayed in the medical field so long. So I decided to start doing research, and I wanted everything I do with passion and with a vengeance. So I actually researched soap making for almost 2 years before I actually took the plunge, and because I wanted to make sure that what I created was going to be the best thing on the market. And of course, my family and I are the guinea pigs.
Yeah.
So after a couple of, you know, trials, because I was developing my own recipes. So these recipes aren't found anywhere but in my head. And I tried a couple recipes and, you know, gave them to my family and friends. And they're like, well, yeah, this is great, but this or whatever. And finally, the third try, I came up with what I think is a totally different bar of soap than you will find anywhere else.
It's totally a different bar soap than I have ever seen. Yes.
Well, you know, it's my own recipe. I put in there what I think your skin needs, or I actually know what your skin needs to thrive. And, you know, and I have always put 100% of my ingredients on the back label, which my mother is like, why? People will know what you're using. I said, yes, but they won't know my recipe. There's a
That's
big
right.
difference.
There is.
And
there
actually, it is a big difference. And, I mean, you could lay out everything for someone to make pancakes, but if they don't know the recipe, they don't know how much of everything to put in.
Right. Right.
So, and actually starting this year, the FDA is actually starting to clamp down on people and fine them if they don't have 100% of their ingredients on back of the bar. And they're also finding people that claim to have soap when it's truly not soap and only a beauty bar. And Dove, his last year, actually knew this was coming and jumped on the bandwagon to avoid the fines. And so when you go in the store now and look at the Dove packaging, it now says beauty bar.
Well, before we hear more about your soap that is so fabulous, I'd like you to tell us more about what you've learned about soap and additives that are in it and things like that so that people can understand what the issues are about why they should use your soap and not another soap. And but so just tell us more about this whole thing of soap versus beauty bar so that people can understand more about the labeling of soap.
Well, what is turns soap? Out, well, there are several manufacturers all over the country and overseas that do make soap. But what happens is they replace all the good stuff with synthetic lathering agents and harsh chemicals. And that is what makes a bar of soap lather. Now, if you have a good recipe and have the right combination of oils in a bar of soap, you don't need lathering agents. The combination of oils will make a beautiful lather on its own. And then what they do is they also siphon out the glycerin, which is a very hot commodity. This is what your skin needs. But they siphon it out to sell it to high-end cosmetic companies. So what's left is, you know, and then they'll replace it because, you know, now the softening agent has been removed. So then they'll replace it with a mineral oil, which comes from biodiesel fuel. They'll also put in lanolin, which comes from the sheep's wool. And by the way, we have been led to believe for many, many years that lanolin is actually good for you. It is not. Your skin wants moisture constantly. And what lanolin does is it actually puts a film over your skin so that moisture cannot penetrate it. And because if you stop and think about it, lanolin that comes from sheep's wool, when you see it rain on a sheep, what does the water do?
It runs off.
It rolls off, exactly. And that is because it's put that film, it's a natural protective film for the sheep, obviously. But we, as humans, we need the moisture. And then they put in sorrel laurel sulfite. I mean, just, you know, for preservatives and chemicals. And, you know, your skin is the largest organ on your body. And it absorbs everything you put on it.
Yes.
Whether it's makeup, deodorant, soap, whatever. And so, of course, all this that you're putting not only into your body, but you're washing down the drain. So, which actually, I shouldn't laugh because all these chemicals are actually stored in body fat and in your brain.
Yes, so, they are stored in your brain.
Yes, everything, you know, I mean, I could really go off on that one, but that's for another interview. But, so everything that goes down the drain is so it's also not good for the environment.
Yes.
So
exactly right.
Yeah, it's really scary that you know, we're so used to disbelieving what's told to us, and we really need to become a nation of label readers. I know when I started really concentrating on labels, my husband and I went to a grocery store and we spent probably 4 hours, didn't buy a thing, but spent 4 hours going up and down the aisles just reading labels and what is in the products that we use for our skin, our hair, what we eat. It's really scary.
We need to go to break, but when we come back, I want to hear more about labels. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and my guest today is CJ, well, I guess I'll say Cynthia A. Young Jennings, also known as CJ, owner of Sweet Harvest Farms in Tampa, Florida. Her website is sweetharvestfarms.com, and she makes incredible soap, which we're going to continue to talk about after the break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Katt, and my guest today is Cynthia A. Young Jennings, owner of Sweet Harvest Farms. That's at sweetharvestfarms.com, and she makes incredible soap, which we're going to hear about very soon in the show. But first, I want to ask, Cynthia, you had mentioned before about the FDA and labeling and beauty bars versus soap. So what is the difference between if somebody sees the word beauty bar on a bar of what they think is soap and real soap?
Because beauty bars have usually had all the good ingredients siphoned out of it.
Okay.
And that's what we were just talking about. So
is there a legal definition of what the word soap is? I know that in the government, there's in foods, that there's a standardization of, like, mayonnaise, for example, can't be called mayonnaise unless it has certain ingredients in it. So is it the same thing with soap?
Yes, almost, yes. The FDA has books that are probably about 5 inches thick that are a very dry read.
Yes, and, I've read some of them.
Unfortunately. And so they're quite specific as to what is termed a soap or a beauty bar. There are very few true soap makers left, by the way, in the United States. Out of all the millions of people, there's only about 65 true soap makers left.
Wow.
So a lot of the things that you see at shows, markets, etc., is either a beauty bar or a melt-and-pour product. And the melt-and-pour is actually what I consider, in my opinion, one of the worst. That is the product you can actually go into Michael's craft store and in Children's Crafts and see a big block of white, you know, that you can take home, right, remelt, put a little color, a little, you know, scent, a little glycerin in, and, you know, pour it back out in a mold, cut it up, and call it homemade soap, which a lot of people do. Unfortunately, the glycerin that most people use comes from biodiesel fuel. That is a different type of glycerin. That is not the soap glycerin that you need for your skin. And there's no scent, and there's no color, there's no taste. So it's really scary. And I'm not sure how the FDA thinks that they're going to crack down on everybody because, to be quite honest, they can't even get a handle on our food supply. So, I think it's a scare tactic. I think because back in the 90s, melt-and-pour became very popular. You know, it's the clear stuff that you can see little bits and pieces in. And it melts very quickly, and it leaves slime all over your skin in the shower. And so everyone started jumping on the bandwagon and started doing melt-and-pour and beauty bars and calling it handmade soap. And I think since it's just become inundated everywhere you go to see someone set up with homemade soap, I think that's why the FDA finally is clamping down or trying to clamp down.
Yeah, it's just, you know, one of the things that has been such a difficult thing, and not just in soap, but in all kinds of products, is that there's a term like soap, and yet that can mean so many different things.
And just like, you know, I'm not sure if you realize this, but the FDA does not even recognize the word natural when you're talking about.
Oh, I know that. We've talked about that before, yeah.
Right. So, it's just, you know, it's like people use the word vintage to describe clothing and furniture when vintage is really a term used for wine. So,
right.
You know, it's all relative, I guess.
It would be nice if there were some more standardized words that we could just say this word and
exactly
know what it means. And,
oh, totally.
And not
I
have
agree
there be so much. And even within the naming of chemicals, that's where it gets really confusing because you can call something like glycerin, you just said glycerin, and glycerin can either be the natural glycerin that is the result of soap making, or it can be, as you said, glycerin made from petrochemicals, from diesel fuel, and it's completely synthetic and has nothing to do with soap at all. Yet all it says on the label is glycerin. And that's
exactly
something I've been writing about for years and years and years.
Yeah, it's really, I guess that people are going to use what they want to use to their benefit or not to their benefit.
Yeah.
And that's what's scary, because you really can't, and you're right, there's no standardized wording that can really describe what you're using.
And I think that people look at soap and say, oh, this looks so pretty with all that little stuff in it, or it's all these colors that are all swirled together, or it's, it has a pretty fragrance or whatever. But then there's this whole other issue of, is the soap actually functioning well to help your skin? Are there any toxic chemicals in it? And it's not just about how pretty it is. And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back from the break, which is coming up in about a minute or so. So let's see, what can we talk about for a minute? Let me tell you
what happened. When I finally started making soap, my daughter knew that I was starting to make soap, and she called me one day and says, Mom, you've got to do something for Charlie. She's scratching till she bleeds. So my No More Eczema soap was actually the first soap that I ever made. And to this day, it's probably one of my best sellers.
So what about it makes it makes people not have eczema?
Just my recipe. It's just my recipe. I don't claim it cures eczema. That would put me in a whole different category with the FDA.
Yes.
I don't claim anything, but I can say that it does help. And it contains no scent. It contains no color. I crush up and grade organic steel cut oatmeal or oat, that not oatmeal but the oat, and
yeah.
that's placed inside for a little bit of exfoliation, a little bit of calming effect, and everything I put in my soap, there's a reason for it.
Yes, and I've been looking at your ingredients list, and these soaps don't contain any parabens, sodium, lauryl sulfate, phosphates, harsh chemicals, mineral oils, or petroleum products of any kind. And I think you really bend over backwards to use as many organic ingredients as possible, yes?
Oh, certainly. And even the palm oil that I use is sustainable.
Yeah.
I pay, it's expensive to buy organic and sustainable, but I wouldn't use anything else.
Okay, we need to go to break now. When we come back, we'll talk more about CJ's soaps and how real soap gets made. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Cynthia Young Jennings of Sweet Harvest Farms. She's in Tampa, Florida, and I found her at multiple crafts fairs and farmers markets and things. And you can go to her website at sweetharvestfarms.com to learn more about her soaps and make a purchase and enjoy her creativeness in putting together her website. It's got a lot of lovely things on it. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Cynthia A. Young Jennings. She's the owner of Sweet Harvest Farms in Tampa, Florida, and her website is sweetharvestfarms.com. So, Cynthia, you've got this great page on your website that I've read about five times now, that when you go to her website, the first on the left side, it says shop, and right away, the first thing you see is Handmade Soap 101. And I'm looking at the Handmade Soap 101 page. So the first thing, and this is the thing that actually, what I'm about to say, is the thing that made me finally buy a bar of soap, was because it says here right on this page, you cannot wrap true soap in cellophane or put them in a box. True soap needs air to continue to cure, and every soap needs to be marked with a cure date on the back label. That is the first time I have ever seen that. And when I was at Cynthia's booth at the fair, I looked on the labels, and they all had dates that some of them were very fresh, and you had to wait in order to use them until that they got to their cure date. Tell us about curing soap. And I just got this whole idea of it being like this thing that needs to breathe. And it just changed my whole idea of soap. So tell us about this.
Well, the process of the cold process method of soap, that process is called saponification. And mm-hmm. the saponification is a combination of the lye water, which sounds scary, but it's not, because once it's mixed with the oils, it actually has already, it's already eradicated.
Mm-hmm.
And it, but you, it's another thing that's very important. You cannot have true soap without lye. You have to use lye in order to make soap. And I actually use food-grade lye, the same type of lye that's made to make pretzels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's extra safe. Well, that saponification process is very much like fermentation with wine. So you wouldn't drink the grape juice and the sugar as wine until it was completely fermented. And it's the same thing with soap. It takes about 4 to 5 weeks from the day I make it for it to be totally soap. The lye and the oils are still doing their thing. And as it cures, it actually gets harder and harder because the moisture that's in the soap is starting to evaporate. So you can actually, let's say that it says you cannot, the cure date is the 22nd of January. So that is the day that you can start using it. If you let that bar set for about another month, instead of lasting 6 to 8 weeks, which my soaps do, it might last you about 12. And
wow.
That's because it's become harder.
I will tell you, this is a really hard, you know this, but listeners, this is a really hard bar of soap. It is not soft. It is hard and it is heavy. Every time I pick it up, you know, this is not a frothy bar. It's dense. It's like,
right,
you know, eating gelato instead of ice cream.
That's a good description. Although if you've been to my bar, it wouldn't hurt you. It would just foam at the mouth a little bit. But
I love that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and really a lot of people, it's really funny because, like, I explain to the parents, you know, if their children are with them, you know, let your children use this soap. And they're like, oh, it'll melt. I'm like, no. You can have this in the shower and the water hit it directly. It's not going to melt like your beauty bars. It's not going to melt like your melt and pour products. This is a true bar of soap that will last and last. And so, and it will last till the, I mean, I have people come up and say, I have a little bitty piece, and they're showing me their fingers like really close, like, I have a little bitty piece of soap and it still works. So, that's the true difference. It doesn't, if it doesn't leave the slime on the tub, it's certainly not going to leave it on your skin.
No, it doesn't leave any slime. And I think I paid like $7 for this big bar. Isn't that how much it costs? Like $7 or something?
Yes. And believe me, I have, in all the years, I've been doing this now for 12 years. In all those years, I've only had one other true soap maker come up to me and introduce themselves. And they said, how are you making any money? You're giving this away.
I was really surprised because, I mean, I have bought a lot of handmade soap over the years, probably some of the stuff that really isn't soap. And,
right.
And it's, and it melts within like a month. If I can get it to last for a month, I'm lucky. And they charge $4, $5, $6 for that. And I'm looking at this bar of soap and, you know, I think it's going to last me. I mean, I'm just one person taking one shower a day. I think it's going to last me 3 or 4 or 5 months anyway. And
I have a lot of people that, unfortunately, my husband and I use the same soap. So it will last probably about 6 to 8 weeks. But it's really funny because we'll be using a bar of soap. And, you know, I'm like, okay, I want to go on to the next scent, you know, and it's like it's still lasting and lasting and lasting.
Yeah, it
but,
is.
Also, a lot of people have misconception because you want to use this soap on your face. And people look at me like I'm nuts because, of course, they wouldn't use the stuff that they get commercially because it does nothing but dry your skin.
Right.
But you want to use this. I have a lot of customers that tell me they see reduced fine lines around their eyes just using my soap. I can't claim that because I would get in trouble. But I can tell you that what my customers say, and I do have a press and a testimonial page on my website that you can read and actually see the videos of my customers attesting. I am 60. That was a really hard age for me. By the way, I cried for days. But a lot of people, and in fact, everyone I meet, when I tell them I'm 60, they think they actually ask for my license because I truly look probably about 45, and that is because I use this soap on my face.
I've been using it on my face. I've never been one for, you know, going through all those beauty products that you're supposed to use on your face. I've just never done that. I've always used soap. And I have very few wrinkles for my age. But it actually feels really good to use your soap on my face because it does get clean, but it doesn't get, it doesn't feel dried out at all.
Right.
And I'm just very happy with it. I'm very happy with it. And
you know, every bar of soap, like I was saying, there's a reason behind it. And so I had all these people ask me, well, do you do a soap for this or do you do a soap for that? And so I actually now have a dog soap for Fido, and people swear by it. I have a soap that I make for acne. And one thing about that is there is what's called salicylic acid. That is what is used in a lot of acne remedies and prescriptions. I use all natural. Now, here we go with that word natural because that's what people want to hear. But it is. It comes from, it's salicylic acid actually derived from the willow tree. Mm-hmm. And what I do is I brew a tea of willow bark and put it into the soap to combat the acne and blemishes while still leaving your skin soft.
Well, of course, that's the natural way to do it. We need to go to break, but we'll be right back. My guest today is Cynthia A. Jennings from, I think I left out one of your names here, Cynthia A. Young Jennings, owner of Sweet Harvest Farms. I didn't have my, I was looking at your website instead of looking at my page about you. Cynthia A. Young Jennings, owner of Sweet Harvest Farms. Her website is sweetharvestfarms.com, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Yat, and my guest today is Cynthia A. Young Jennings of Sweet Harvest Farms in Tampa, Florida, and her website is sweetharvestfarms.com. There's a couple things I want to make sure that we get in here before the end of the show, which is coming up very soon. You have here on this page, Homemade Soap 101, it says, there are very few true soap makers left that stay true to the old-fashioned method of soap making that is used literally thousands of years ago. Tell us about the excavations in ancient Babylon.
Well, they have found, they've uncovered cylinders with inscriptions for soap making around 2800 B.C., and later records from Egypt as well, and describing how the oils were combined with alkaline salts to make soap. A lot of the way that they found this was after they, slaughtered a sheep or whatever to eat. And, of course, the oils from the body would then leach across the fire, which, of course, produces ash. And then it hardened. And then I'm like, how do people figure out that they can use it to wash themselves? I don't know.
Somebody just picked up the hardened fat out of the fire.
I think someone probably did, and it rained or it got wet, and then it lathered up, and they're like, So, I have that question about a lot of things, how people figure out things. it's the combination of oils with the, because lye actually comes from ash.
Yes.
And so it's the combination of that that makes true soap. Like I said earlier, you cannot have true soap without lye.
And before they started manufacturing lye that you could buy in a package, people made their soap by combining fat, particularly from animals, because it's so easy
ash.
To get that, and the ash from their fires. Their fireplaces.
Exactly.
And that's how, like in colonial times, for example, people made soap. And
it was called lye soap.
Yeah. It's quite an ancient and natural thing. And just
it
something
is.
that our bodies have evolved with over time. So I love soap. I love soap. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to make sure we mention is about people with allergies, because I know that a lot of my listeners are sensitive to certain things. So would you tell us about allergies?
Well, let me explain something. A lot of people that come up to me and say, I can't use it because, it smells or whatever, and because I'm allergic to scent. And I'm like, no. more than likely you're not allergic to the scent. You're allergic to the chemicals that are put into the scent. And right. So a lot of people will use my soap, and they're like shocked because they've never been able to use anything like this on their skin before because they were allergic, or they would break out, or they would itch, or whatever. And that won't, they don't find that with my soap. Now, I will tell you, I did give a bar of my soap to one of the vendors that sold flowers across from me one day. And the next week I saw him, and I said, so how did it work? And he goes, it was amazing. He said, but I broke out. And I was like, what? It's like, no way, it was my soap. He goes, yeah, it was your soap. Well, come to find out, you know, you can be allergic to nuts.
Right.
And, you know, but there is a rare condition where you can be so ultra-sensitive that, you know, a lot of these people don't live past the age of 30. That's how sensitive they are, because almost everything has some kind of nut oil in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that because I use shea butter in my soap, and shea butter comes from the shea nut. And so he was one of the few. So now on my bar in the back, it says shea butter, and in parentheses it says shea nut, because a lot of people don't realize that the shea butter comes from the shea nut.
Right.
But I have people, in fact, my son-in-law, who is extremely allergic to peanuts and such, and he can use my soap no problem. So
yeah.
I have a lot of people that have allergies to nuts that use my soap without a problem in the world because of the shea butter. But it's that, just that one in all the thousands of people that I have sold to that had that ultra, ultra sensitivity. And to this day, I'm still not really sure that it was my soap. He could have eaten some, he could have eaten something at dinner that, you know, that had traces, because you can have minute traces of nut oil and other oil. So you have to be really, really careful. Right. You know, so there really isn't an allergy or sensitivity to the scent that is in the soap. And I, like I said, I have people that, that have been using my soap for years, and they can't even use the soap the doctor prescribed them from the pharmacy.
Right.
But they
right.
can use my soap. So that makes me feel really good. I'm, you know, it's quite, you know, whenever I get really tired, because it is a very laborious process, and I've been doing this every day for, you know, 12 years. And when I get tired, my husband sits me down at my computer, and he pulls up the testimonial page.
Yeah.
And he goes, if you want to know why you do this, read what your customers have to say. When I, when a simple bar of soap can make such a difference in someone's life, I can't describe to you the feeling that gives me and the joy. Mm.
I can imagine. So the point I wanted to make here is that it says here, just email that, I want to get the right line. If you find that any of the ingredients used in our products may cause you irritation due to allergies, it's always possible for us to produce a soap that does not contain any specific oil. Just email your request, and we can make you a soap that is just as moisturizing and luxurious to suit your needs. And so I just want to make sure that people who are having difficulty finding a soap that they can use because of allergies, that they can
right.
come to you. And you'll work with them to get them a wonderful bar of soap that they can,
right.
something that they can use.
And
I think that
I
that's
do,
really important.
And what I do, too, is if they're insistent, because, like I said, 99.9999% of the time, people that feel that they're sensitive to a bath and body product, it's really, most of the time, it's the chemicals and preservatives in the product that they're
yes.
having a reaction to, and not any of the really good stuff that you'll find in my soap. So what
right.
I'll do is I'll actually send a sample. If they do have allergies of any sort, and I have yet to have anyone come back. And I mean, usually when I send a sample to someone, says, well, I want to try it, within probably, I'd say, 2 weeks, they're ordering 7 bars. That tells me that it worked just fine. So,
well, I would order 7 bars, but I think it would last me 7 years.
And just to put a bug in your ear, too, I have finally, now I've been doing this, my family and I have been using this for years, but finally, after the FDA did come out a couple of months back and say that, yes, toothpaste is actually dangerous for you, I am now going to be offering my all-natural tooth powder.
I saw that on your card, but I don't see it on your website because I want some.
Yes, it's, I did the first, I call it test marketing at Hyde Park Market on Sunday, and it was a hit. And, which I was very pleased to see because, you know, a lot of people, they really don't pay attention to the news or, you know, stuff like that. And it was, you know, it was out there for a very short time. It was out maybe for 2 or 3 days and then it was gone. So, a lot of people did hear about it, and they're like, yeah, we heard, you know, can't believe it. Fluoride's awful for you. There's no benefit whatsoever. There's a lot of stuff in it. All you have to do is turn your toothpaste over, look at the ingredients, Google each ingredient, and read what it says about the ingredients. So
we've talked about toothpaste before on this show, and I've been writing about it for years. So I'm very excited to see what you've come up with since I love yourself so much.
Well, it should be on the website by next week.
Okay, good, because I just ran out of my tooth powders, and I was wondering what to look for next. So we only have about a minute left. Is there anything you'd like to say that you haven't said?
I would just encourage people to read, read, read. And don't just go to one source. Go to many. I would not ingest anything or put anything on my skin if I did not know what the ingredients were. And what I tell everybody is if you can't pronounce it, don't use it. Because it just makes sense. And, you know, just be, you know, you are granted this amazing, beautiful life and this amazing functioning body that's a miracle in itself. Take care of it. And take care of the earth that we live in. You know, it's, we keep taking and we keep forgetting to put back. And that's important.
Yes, it is. I totally agree with that, too. So, let me give you your website again. It's sweetharvestfarms.com. And when you go there, listeners, she's got so many different kinds of soaps, handmade soap, specialty soap, seasonal soap, shea butter bars, African black soap, pine tar soap, cedar soap dishes that are beautiful, made out of untreated white cedar, and she's got men's shaving soap. And do you also sell all the little brushes and everything that goes with it?
Yes, I do. They're actual Badger brushes that I sell that you can buy either with the men's shaving kit or without.
And we've got to go. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, I'm
Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. And you can go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com to find out more. Have a great day. Be well.